Folks, this is Matt from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
ShiningWizards.com.
Do you remember the days when Dynamite Kid could walk? Me too. Relive those fun memories at Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea.
What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
This is the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil Rea and Choppy on Rant EM Radio.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of The Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Yo, what's up, kids? Thank you so much for supporting the show. Thank you very much. The Turnbuckle Throwbacks, really appreciate that. But there's more ways you could support us and help us out. Go to iTunes, go to Stitcher, leave a review. The more reviews we get, the better we get as a crew. More listeners means more fun, means more stuff to do, all right? Simple as that. Go to rantemradio.com, go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com, and go to turnbucklethrowbacks.com and get all of our other content, back content, other shows that we support. It's all there. Go get it. It's all for you. You want to buy a t-shirt? Please buy a t-shirt. It supports us. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbucklethrowbacks and get one of four designs. You won't be disappointed. They're pretty fresh to death. More importantly, thank you so much for supporting Turnbuckle Throwbacks. We appreciate it. We love you all. Peace out.
I am the baddest dude that walks the streets today.
I'm going to end your career once and for all right here in Madison Square Garden.
I knew that I just had to go down and give her the thrill of a lifetime, the rude awakening.
The last thing I want to do is to own the damn WWF because that's got to be the biggest headache in the world.
Get used to it. Who you're looking at, the man. Woo!
It's time to crank your headphones and forget your problems. You're listening to an action-packed episode of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast!
Woo! Yeah!
Smoking Joe Frazier, the Hellraiser, raising hell with the flavor. Terrorize the jam like troops in Pakistan. Swinging through your town like your neighborhood Spider-Man. So all tick-tock and keep ticking. Well, I get you flipping off the shit I'm kicking. The Lone Ranger, co-ed, danger. Deep in the dark with the art to rip the charts apart. The vandal, too hot to handle your battle. You're saying goodbye like Devin Campbell. Roughneck, Inspector Dex on the set. The rebel, I make more noise than heavy metal.
The way I make the crowd go wild. Sit back, relax. Won't smile. Ray got it going on, pal. Call me the rap assassinator. Rhymes rugged and built like Schwarzenegger. And I'ma get mad deep like a threat. Blow up your project, then take all your assets. Cause I came to shake the frame in half with the thoughts that bomb. Shit like math.
From the slums of Shaolin, welcome to another edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Anyway. Moving on your left. Anyway, what's up, everybody? How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to another edition. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all that other happy horse shit. I am your gracious host, the Blue Collar Scholar, the Heavyweight Primate, the Yoda, or Yoder. Remember I said Yoder? No, I didn't really say Yoder. I said Yoda, but it sounds like Yoda of yesteryear. The Impact Player, Mr. Philly Rea. And I am joined by...
the asshole face, Choppy.
And we are live on the Rant.
Live!
RantEMRadio.com, Rant Entertainment Media, part of the Shining Wizards Network. How is everybody doing tonight?
Okay, so we have Shaylin.
Hello, Shaylin.
And is Pastor in the room?
Is he?
I don't know.
I don't know, is he? I mean, you see the chat room. I don't
know. Shaylin said a good evening pastor, so I'm hoping he's in.
Jesus!
Yeah, seriously.
All right. Anyways, I hope he's in the room.
I hope so, too.
What's going on, brother?
Nothing much.
How would you just talk about a long-ass work week?
Oh, dude, 12-hour days are fantastic.
Work sucks.
Yeah.
getting old sucks, dude.
Especially getting 4 hours of sleep every single night.
Yo, the kid has been coming into bed with us lately, like in the middle of the night, like he just like randomly, and I'm like, dude, you're fucking 10 years old, and you you're annoying. Go to bed.
Yeah, seriously, go to bed, dude.
His new obsession is Little Bub. Have you heard of Little Bub?
No, what is that?
All right, Little Bub is a special needs cat. The cat has like legit Down syndrome, right? And this dude put Little Cat on YouTube one time. I know, it's funny, right? So Little Bub became like a phenomenon. They sell stuffed animals. He makes all these noises.
Okay.
They sell T-shirts and all the money goes to like, I guess they have like foundations for special needs pets and shit like that. So he brings home this cat. Well, they ordered the cat. The cat comes in the mail, right? The sounds this fucking cat makes, and I immediately thought of you, right? When
thanks
because of the whole don't say the A word, don't say the R word, right? But I have to now think of you because of this. And he pushes the button and the cat makes like these weird noises, and that's the natural noises. Like, you know how Brucey doesn't, like, we think Brucey's special needs because Brucey doesn't meow. He squeaks.
Yeah.
So we think he was born with like a birth defect or something. But I mean, Brucey's a healthy cat. You know Brucey.
Of course.
But like, this cat's fucked up. This cat's got like the pushed in face. This cat looks like it has Down syndrome. The tongue is hanging out like a Special Olympics cat, you know?
You heard it here, folks. When you think of retards, you think of Andre. Choppy. Yeah.
Look at Choppy dropping his government name.
Sorry.
This fucking guy.
Oh, well. Anyways.
So, yeah. So Little Bub is part of the Raya family now. I don't know. It's just weird. The cat freaks me out, actually. The noises it makes. You have to come see this thing, man.
I will.
Hysterical. So that's been my week. What else is going on? It was really nice weather, and now we're getting that summer weather again.
Yeah, no, it's weird, dude.
I had to put the air conditioner back on.
Like, yep.
Jesus, that son of a, you know.
Jesus.
Like I just didn't want to put the friggin' the AC back on. I was pissed.
By the way, next week is going to be fucking hell going home. It's the United Nations week next week.
You don't give a shit. You're getting laid next week.
Yeah, it's true. I'm talking about like the whole week.
I'm not even going to the east side, bro. I'm going to take that bus to the west side and take the fucking...
Dude, avoid the BQE like it's a fucking... It's like the HIV. It, avoid it.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad.
Yeah. And speaking of the UN, I'm sick about hearing about fucking North Korea.
Oh,
I'm
God.
I don't even want to get into it, but I'm sick of these news stations making it seem like they're such a big fucking threat because they have weapons, and I'm like, everybody has weapons. Like, who cares? You know, you like make a move. You know what I'm saying? Like, really, just make a move. If you're gonna do something, just fucking do it already. You know? Well, then we gave them these sanctions. What's the sanction? Ooh, okay, don't do that.
Yeah, slap
you on the hand. Shame on you. You know? Stop with the sanctions. Just make the country a parking lot.
That's it.
Or don't.
They know for a fact that if they do anything, if they try anything, it just takes one command from Mr. Donald Trump, and he's gonna be like, you know what? Bomb the fuck out of that country. It's over. You know?
Exactly.
Fuck them.
Fuck.
Oh. There it is.
Fuck it. Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest Trump supporter. I'm really not. And this is not a political podcast, obviously not, but yeah, come on, we're like one of the top countries in the world, and for this fuckhole to think that he's just been like, you know what, I'm gonna drop a bomb on one of our allies.
I'm gonna shoot missiles by Japan. I'm gonna hit Guam. I'm like, if you hit Guam, which is an American territory,
correct?
I don't care who the president is.
Your
country's gonna be a parking lot.
The only thing you're going to be dropping is a deuce in the toilet, you piece of shit.
people, you know, I don't even know, but I had to shut the news off between the relief efforts in Florida, and I was getting depressed. My family, friends, they had no lights, they had no electricity. My cousins, I was telling Choppy in pre-production, just got their lights back on like today or yesterday, was
it? That's crazy.
Thank God my aunt, their mom had.
How was your grandmother?
Grandma's fine. Grandma ain't fucking around.
I know. You told me she wasn't leaving nowhere. She's like,
fuck that. I ain't going nowhere, she said. That's exactly what she said.
That's awesome.
That's Brooklyn right there.
That's badass.
You know? I don't know how she would have... I mean, they didn't get hit as bad. They, you know, and she's in one of those retirement communities.
Okay.
So, you know, it's all right with them. You know, they have, like, the backup generators and shit, too, I think, so. And my Uncle Paulie's over there. He's a fire chief. So, my stepdad's brother. So, he lives in that area, too. So, he was fine. And my stepdad's parents live in North Florida by mm-hmm. Jacksonville. They got hit pretty bad, but they're okay. Yeah. And my cousin's down by AA, and he got hit really bad, but he's fine. And a couple of my homegirls that I grew up with and work with, they live down there now, and they lost their power. You know, we know what's really fucked up is my one friend lost her husband at 9/11 and lost power, and it was the anniversary in the same fucking week. You know, so she was like a mess, and I felt so bad for her. So, you know, it's been a rough week, like, just watching TV. There's some good things going on in sports. I mean, football season started, hockey camps are opening, baseball has been on fire lately.
Basketball starts in about a month.
Basketball starts soon. Like, it's the best part of the year. Once the fall hits, between October and December, Phil has, like, a big giant heart on. You can hang a coat on with all the sports, because it's all happens at once, you know.
Choppy will be coming over on Sundays to watch some football.
Football, yeah. Once I'm settled in a new place, which is really soon, we're going to be doing Sundays at my house for football.
Seriously.
Yeah.
My Giants look like shit.
I was telling you in the car, it's only one game. They did look like shit, though.
They looked like shit.
Tony C couldn't watch the game because he lost power, and he's a Cowboys fan.
Yeah, fuck. Joking.
Okay, terrific.
I love you, Tony C.
So
how do you live in Florida and you're a Cowboys fan?
Dude, don't say that, because I grew up with Cowboy, Dolphin, and Raider fans, because all those teams were good in the 70s. So all I knew was like Dolphins and Raiders. And
how is my broadcast partner, who lives in Staten Island, originally from Brooklyn and Queens, and is a Minnesota Vikings fan?
Because I didn't have a football team when I was a kid. I rooted for a player who played on a team. My dad hated Dallas Cowboys.
I know he did.
So Herschel Walker played for the Cowboys. I couldn't root for the Cowboys because of my dad. So when he got traded, that was my in, and I stuck with them.
Okay.
So I'm loyal. I'm not going to fucking leave the team because, you know, I live in New York.
But his back, you know, Phil's backup team is the Giants. Always.
Yeah, Giants and Steelers. Like, those are my team, my go-to
really?
Team.
Really? I didn't know about Steelers.
I love Pittsburgh, bro. I would live in Pittsburgh.
I like Big Ben. Big Ben.
I like Pittsburgh. I like their teams. I like their city. I like their food, their people. If I had my way, I'd live there. I love that. But I vacationed 4 years there. I loved it.
I like Kurt Angle. He's great.
I love Kurt Angle. Love Shane Douglas.
Yeah, me too. I like Shane.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite ECW champion.
Right. And I love Mario Lemieux, even though he killed the Rangers. You know? But I love Sidney Crosby as much as he takes fucking dives. But, you know, listen, it is what it is. Let's see. So, it's been a rough couple of weeks in terms of just keeping the TV on. So, we'll just keep everybody in your prayers, man. You know? Nobody bought a shirt, so I couldn't donate any fucking money like I wanted to. So, it is what it is. We have, like, all these thousands of downloads. Guys, buy a shirt. Buy a shirt. We get, like, a small piece of it, and it helps keep the show free. So, either way. I already plugged it. We'll plug it at the end of the show.
Yeah.
So, the baby's good. Baby's getting big, right?
Baby's fine.
Yeah.
He looks at me sometimes. He's like, where the fuck is my bottle, goddammit?
He gives me that look next week. He ain't getting shit.
Oh, dude. Oof.
I'm babysitting him next week. If he gives me that look, he ain't getting shit next.
He's gonna be like, Uncle Phil.
Where's my look here, you mutt? Where's my bottle? All right.
How am I funny, Uncle Phil?
And how come her tits aren't as big as mommy's?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but yeah, Choppy's not gonna be on next week. You will probably get a filatorial maybe mixed with a Nitro. Next week, on the day of the show, is the first ever appearance of Goldberg. Ooh. On Nitro, September 22nd, 1997.
Humorous.
Yeah, so I might I watched that whole episode today, and it was dope.
It was a good episode.
So I might do that as a throwback, or I might just do a filatorial on the phone and upload it. I'm going to do something though. We'll get something, but we're not going to be on live next week. So sorry to break it to you, but
they'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
It's gonna be great.
You're gonna get a show regardless, because that's how we roll. You know.
Yeah. So, wrestling talk and talk about wrestling?
That's the other show.
I'm joking.
I bought Pac-Man for the PlayStation, did I tell you?
Oh, how was it?
Dope. I bought Ms. Pac-Man.
It's the better.
For a dollar.
It's the better of the three, actually. Yep.
Me and the kid were playing Pac-Man for like 3 hours last week. And he was like, this is great. I took him to a birthday party on Saturday. My neighbor. And they had a face painter and a magician, same guy, makes balloons, does a whole nine yards. And he, he's, you know, painting faces. He's like, I want my face painted. I'm like, you're 10 years old. He's like, I want my face painted. I'm like, do like the Ultimate Warrior. He's like, oh, yeah. And the guy couldn't do it. Mikey goes, well, then give me Pac-Man. So he had a big Pac-Man on the side of his face with all the pellets going up around the chin, you know? So.
That's too funny. Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Did you hear what Hogan said?
What? So are we getting into news?
Yeah, because it just popped up on the chat. Apparently, Hogan called all his fellow Floridians, anybody who does not have hot water and electricity, he calls them big fucking crybabies.
He what?
He called the people of Florida, the people that don't have power or water, he's calling them crybabies. Like, who? You're a fucking millionaire, dude. This hurricane didn't fucking affect you. It affected the average person who doesn't make $1 million a year like you are, dickface. This man needs to shut up.
Is that exactly what he said, or was it taken out of context?
No, there's an article. Okay. He's calling them crybabies, dude.
What a fucking douchebag.
He's a piece of shit. And this is exactly why WWE does not want you. Or maybe they will get him. I don't know.
That's another thing, too. I'm sick of people like, they'll never go back. They'll never go back. I guarantee you.
By next year.
We're going to see Hulk Hogan back in the ring. We're going to see CM Punk back in the ring again.
You know what?
It's not right now, but I'm talking about when the whole lawsuit thing is over and he gets no money. You know? And he knocks up his wife. And he realizes that, oh, I saved some money, but I can use more. Because I don't care how much money he saved. You need a career.
If he, honest to God, if he had just was patient in 2014 and just waited, could you imagine the matches he would have had with Austin Aries, with AJ Styles, yeah. Samoa Joe?
Yeah, it's like watching Ring of Honor all over again.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that. I'm just saying, like, I'm sick and tired of people on these web pages and on these Facebook sites and stuff talking about, well, you know, all these marks. We'll never see those guys in a ring again.
You can't
never say never, man. Especially with the wrestling business. Because
look what happened. Bobby Roode is in WWE.
Look at
AJ.
Look at superstar Billy Graham, Bruno Sammartino, the Ultimate Warrior. All these guys that had fucking heat for years and years.
Bruno, especially
Bruno. Bruno, you watch it. I don't watch the product no more. It's a ridiculous. I don't watch the product no more. But yeah, no, seriously, it's I don't know. I just don't. I'm not you know, drinking that Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? I know for a fact these guys are back in the ring soon. So that's just about it. So
I would like to see CM Punk come back, man. Even though he's a complete dick outside the ring, but
I don't give a shit. Listen, I don't.
He's really good in the ring, though.
I work with people who I can't stand in real life outside of work. Like, I can't have a drink with them. Like, you know, I don't like their political views. I don't like their attitude. I don't like the way they treat people. But you get them on an ambulance, you get them behind in a comm, behind a microphone, or you get them in any kind of EMS capacity, and they are the greatest people on the planet. So you know what? I understand the logic. And it's an entertainment field, you know. These guys are entertainers and they have egos, And that's what basically what fucking brings out the worst in these people. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
So it is what it is, bro. It is what it is.
I agree.
So, all right. So we got some wrestling news or what?
Yeah. You posted this. I believe you posted it up on the page. What are you? I want to hear it from your mouth, not from. What are your thoughts on this new faction called the Undisputed Era?
I hate the name.
I fucking hate it.
I hate the name. I love the crew, of course.
So do
we love Adam Cole. We love Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly. And they're all friends outside of the ring. They all get along.
Correct.
Especially O'Reilly and Cole. They were a tag team. You know, I don't like the name. You know, I was more excited this week that Ronda Rousey was ringside at the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, I know.
I'm telling you, man, she would sell tickets.
She's gonna sign. She's probably already signed by now.
She would sell tickets, Chop. I think, and I'm not a women's. You know, I don't like the skirts. I know, like some girls I can go, but I'm not a big women's wrestling fan at all. But she's money, and she's got that Brock Lesnar ish.
Yeah.
Bravado to her. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
I would like to see that happen for many reasons. One, because I think it's fun. Two, because I like that Ultimate Fighting background. And three, I like the big fight feel. I'm an old school guy. When I was a kid, WrestleMania was the big fight fucking atmosphere.
Correct.
You can put that element back into wrestling no matter what era it is. The bigger the bravado, the bigger the ego, the bigger the character, the better it is on paper, and then obviously, you know.
My only concern with her is she good on the mic?
You have to learn that.
That's my concern. A lot. She could be good in the ring, but is she good on the mic?
85% of the skirts can't talk on the microphone. 85% of the roster, the regular rosters on Raw and SmackDown cannot talk.
I agree.
So it's not... That doesn't bother me because that's... That can, if you can fight, because Brock can't talk for his.
No.
But if you can fight, if you can go in the ring, you know, Charlotte is a clear example that Charlotte was a glorified gymnast who Honda, she mastered the craft.
She's good in the ring and she's good on the mic.
Practice. It wasn't that she was Ric Flair's daughter, she practiced.
Correct.
I mean, it's that doesn't bother me. You know, it doesn't bother me at all, you know? But I was more excited about that this week, you know?
Correct.
Did you
hear about who I was looking at the spoilers for NXT. Did you see who they approached to join the crew?
No.
Your boy Roddy.
Did they?
They approached Roddy to join the crew.
Why not?
I'm all for it. It would be cool if he joined. And they got a female... female in the group now. I forgot her name. She was in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah?
Yeah, they got a girl in the crew now. I forgot her name, man. Damn it. I wish I remembered the name.
Triple H, man.
He's a fucking genius.
He listen, if they work out, Adam Cole will be champ by year's end.
He's going to get the strap from McIntyre, hands down.
He might get it probably...
A lot sooner than expected.
Well, there's two more takeovers, right? There's November and then January, right? They're going to have a takeover before the Survivor Series?
Yeah, November, Survivor Series, and then you got the one in January for Royal Rumble.
So that might be the one where he takes the belt. So maybe next year he'll take the belt.
I think he's going to get it sooner. I think he might get it sooner than expected, dude. I don't think McIntyre is going to be there for too long in NXT.
What, they'll bring him on SmackDown?
You never know.
I'm not a big fan of him. But, I mean, he'll do well either way. Like, whatever roster he goes to, it doesn't matter, you know. But he'll be all right. But I don't. You're right. I have to agree with you. I don't think he'll be in NXT very long.
I wanted to get you, but the name of the group, it really bothers me, dude.
Oh.
Dude, that's like calling, like, say for example, Austin had his own crew, right? And he was like, my crew's name's called the Austin Era.
Ugh.
That's retarded. Like, these fucking geniuses in NXT couldn't come up with something better. Even I came up with something better.
It might be their creation, you know, because some of those guys do have some input on that character. You know? So I don't know whoever's idea was it, even if it was Adam Cole's, it sucks. As much as I love Adam Cole.
It does suck, dude.
Much as I love Adam Cole, baby.
Baby. I mean, what if they were just called Undisputed, like you had just said? Just Undisputed.
Undisputed Attitude. That's the name of a band I wanted to start back in the day, a punk band called Undisputed Attitude.
Or Undisputed Honor.
Undisputed Honor. UH, yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah. I think they wanted to get away from the whole Honor thing because of the copyright. Rob from Thumbstick Ninjas was talking about that.
Mentioned that too, yeah, I know.
Yeah, yeah. I have to agree with him. I think they wanted to get away from that just to
be safe.
They work in agreement with Ring of Honor, but maybe just to keep it separated, like the Bullet Club shit, you know, like you see how the Balor Club stuff, like, you know, I love the shirt, I love Balor Club, I love Balor, but you could tell that they didn't start the faction like we all thought they were going to do, and Gallows and Anderson are still like...
I'm still surprised they haven't started the faction. That should have happened a long time ago already.
Yeah.
I mean, could you... Just think about this for a sec. Imagine when the rumors are going around that they're going to do another draft. I don't know if you heard about this.
Again?
They're going to do another shake-up.
I think they did it twice this year. I think once a year is suffice.
They're planning on doing another shake-up, dude.
That's...
I've heard... Could you imagine... Just think about this for a sec. Could you imagine if... Was it Anderson and Gallows and Balor, both the tag team and him go to SmackDown. And now keep in mind, AJ Styles is on SmackDown.
Right.
You could literally have the four main core guys from the Bullet Club on SmackDown.
Right.
You could probably form it right there. And keep in mind, they have different writers on SmackDown than they do on Raw. So they might be able to pull it off.
Hmm. Possibly.
So my other thing about, not since we're on SmackDown, what are your thoughts on the Vince McMahon, Kevin Owens thing? I thought it was great.
Genius.
Fucking smart.
What did I tell you 2 weeks ago? Or was it last week that he was going to be the top heel in the company?
I was just telling Nick German about this. I think he might get the WWE title.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
Maybe.
Because Jinder Mahal is not a top heel.
He's going to lose the belt eventually, but I think Nakamura is going to get it. That might set up Nakamura and Kevin Owens.
I think so too.
But Kevin Owens, they're going to put Kevin Owens in Hell in a Cell.
Oh yeah, of course.
With
Shane.
With Shane.
And then he's going to, I think what's going to happen is I think the control of SmackDown is going to be on the line. And if Kevin Owens might be running SmackDown.
I don't want him in that role. I was on the network all day today. I was stuck in the house waiting for the gas man.
Uh-huh.
And I watched NXT. I watched our throwback again. I watched another house show from that era, and I watched a bunch of the Tuesday Night Titans. And that, you know, with that from that era, from that month, with Orndorff, Hogan, mm-hmm. The Machines, Macho Man, and I watched Superstar Inc.
Yeah,
with Kevin Owens. Which is pretty cool. I liked it. I like when you can explain your tattoos, and I think Corey Graves adds a little bit more of the now generation. I think he represents some of the smarter wrestling fans that are like your age and maybe a little younger. I think he's
actually my age.
Yeah, I think he's that guy that WWE can market. That's why he's doing both shows. That and the fact they don't have faith in anybody else. I don't think anyway. That's just my opinion.
And this is going to be a really huge comment. I consider Corey Graves the Jesse Ventura of today's commentators.
Yeah.
He's really good.
Yeah. I just, you know, there's a thing with him that resonates the in crowd. The smarty marks, the kids your age, there's a bunch of that. I think he fits that demographic well. But the Superstar Inc. thing, I really dig. He did one on Vinny Stigma from New York Hardcore Tattoo. Vinny Stigma, of course, the legendary guitarist from Agnostic Front, who's my mom's age, and he's still playing fucking shows. He's in the 60s.
Wow.
And Vinny is the man. So they went to Vinny's shop, and he did some stuff with them, and
I liked when he did the Superstar Inc. with Luke Gallows.
Yeah,
that was good.
Yeah, I like all of them. So I haven't seen a bad one yet.
Though even the one with Baron Corbin was really good.
Yeah, because
I enjoyed it.
Listen, you know, we were talking about tattoos in the car on the way here. Ink tells a story. If you look at my arms, I'm telling you a story. I'm not just putting tattoos on me for the sake of putting tattoos, and that's what I was telling your wife too. I'm like, there's a method to it. If I'm going to permanently scar my body for the rest of my life, I'm going to make sure I tell a story, you know? But when you hear other stories, it's fun. Like even when you're in Nepal, you're hanging out, you're getting your ink done, there's guys talking, and it's like a barbershop. It's like a barbershop for punk rock, you know? And I'm punk rock all the way, bro. This podcast is an example of punk rock.
DIY.
Everything we do is DIY that our peers do, that our friends do, whether it's a band or a podcast or making up your own character. Some of our friends are pro wrestlers. Like, it's all DIY. It's all punk rock, and that's what I like about Corey Graves. He's punk rock, you know,
big time.
So I like him. So I hope I hope big things for him.
I mean, it's a huge compliment that they want to make him, you know, do Raw and SmackDown. Because now he's not even doing 205. Now he's just Nigel's doing 205.
Hello,
you fucking cunt. And then what do you call it? I just hope that he becomes I don't know. I want him to be the lead announcer. I was hoping that maybe one day he'll replace Michael Cole.
You're a cunt. You're a cunt. You're a cunt now. You've always been a cunt. And the only thing that's going to change is you're going to become an even bigger cunt. Now you have some more cunt kids.
Wow.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
No, just threw me off. Ring that fucking bell. You asshole.
Okay, terrific.
Oofa. No, I get your point. What else is going on? Oh, the Miz, man, is expecting.
He's expecting, yes.
And the title milestone, he's now the third longest reigning IC champion. You know who's above him?
Who?
Don Morocco.
Dude, he is not the third longest reigning champion. He's not. And that's
IC champion.
Yeah, he's not. Because it's combined reigns. It doesn't matter. Yeah, I want to see him hold a title for more than just one month. Like, who cares about combined reigns? I don't give a shit about that.
Don Morocco had it for 541.
Correct.
And Paige Morales had it for 619.
Okay. Combined reigns, correct?
No, this is the IC title.
Single reign? No, I'm talking about combined IC title reigns you're talking about? Or single? They had it for one single reign and it was all those.
He had it for more than 450 days.
One title reign. Miz has never done that.
No, Miz did do it.
Combined reigns, though.
No. This is 450 days straight. He's been IC champ.
I don't believe that. I got to look that up because I don't think that's true. Because I think it's the Miz.
Yeah.
Because the Miz, I know he's held the belt, I think, like 7 times.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. Honky Tonk is still the longest reigning champion of all time.
Who?
The Honky Tonk.
Yeah.
Longest reign.
Yeah.
I think, was it 2 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. I hope the Miz surpasses that record, though.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's the move.
You know what? I hope he gets the world title one more time. I think he's pretty good. He's a great heel. He's not as good as Kevin Owens, but he's a good heel.
What'd you think of the Ty Dillinger AJ Styles match?
Fantastic.
It was good, right?
No pun intended, but it was a perfect 10.
It was a perfect 10.
Oh man, it was a good match. I love them when those two wrestle. They're really good.
I didn't see Raw. I didn't see Raw.
Braun made Brock Lesnar look like a fucking bitch. It was great.
He punked him.
Oh dude, he Brock Lesnar does a German suplex. Braun pops right up, and Brock looks like he's seen a ghost, dude.
Well, that's good.
Oh, dude, it was great.
See, I like ring psychology. We got a lot of ring psychology tonight, tonight's throwback.
Yeah.
A lot of ring psychology, which drew me to the card. But yeah, if that happened, like you say it happened, that's the way it should be.
Oh, made. Man, and then he picked him up and put him in give him another power slam. He gave Brock another power slam.
I mean, how many times we go to Ring of Honor? And as much as we love the characters, that guys just kick out of shit and no one gets like a, there's no expression. The last expression we saw was when the Hardys came out with the and the Bucks looked legit, right? That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
Like there's no acting to it. Like that's what I like about The Miz. Like he plays an actor character, and he legit, you could tell his facial expressions. There's not many guys and girls that do that anymore. It hurts my soul as an old-timey wrestling fan, you know what I'm saying? And I say that because I'm sick in, like when I'm watching the throwback. I was watching the throwback today for tonight. And again, I don't want to, it's like apples and oranges today it's 30 years ago. But you knew, like, these guys, they played it off like they were scared or they were hurt or they were, like, some guys, you know, they bit more and, you know what I'm saying? It was...
You know what's the problem with today's wrestlers? They don't know how to sell.
No.
They don't. I mean, how is it that, like, remember when, you know, when somebody put on a Boston Crab, for example, you were literally... After the move was applied and you lost the match, the guy would literally couldn't get up.
What about Flair begging in the corner?
Yeah, they don't do it.
Well, how about when Flair had his figure four reversed?
Yes. And,
no. Oh, God.
You know what I was watching this week? WWF, it was Monday Night Raw, the Raw Homecoming Show when they went back to USA. And then Triple H beat the shit out of Ric Flair with the sledgehammer. And Flair's like, oh God, I can't take it. Woo! Flair was great at selling, dude. He was so good.
But there's no, you know, I like to see more dramatic. Dramatic promos and dramatic spots in the match. I want to see more drama to it. You know, if you're gonna play me a fucking 3-hour song, at least give me a good hook.
What about 3-hour song?
I'm serious.
I want to get your opinion on this. What is your thoughts on this Roman Reigns John Cena feud?
It's fine. People can talk all they want about how bad that he is on a microphone. He's cookie cut. He's a product of their environment. He's not organic. Or I should say he's not as organic as John Cena, who did the indies, who did the fucking, you know, developmental, but it was different back then. You know, you have to understand, he was working for like guys like Cornette and Kenny Bolin. And like John Cena had guys around him where Reigns was more of a, okay, we'll press that out of a nice cookie. You know, we'll put him in a green screen and we'll, you know, give him a fucking bullet. We'll give him D'Lo's old vest, you know?
Chest protector.
Right. But I don't have a problem with it. I want to see them kick the shit. I think they're going to have a great match. I think they're going to have a good match.
They're going to have a match.
I just hope, my hope of hopes, that it turns into something. Not just a pissing match.
Not a throwaway match.
Where these guys have where they kill each other and then they go back to their mediocre fucking feuds. That would disappoint me. That, as a fan, not as a podcaster, not as a guy who knows a little more than the rest of the crowd, but an average fan, that would probably disappoint me. It'll probably disappoint my kid and every other kid that's into it like, as much as he is. There's that element to it. I have no problem. Other than that, I have no problem with it.
I mean, Roman Reigns is not a bad worker.
No.
He's very, very good.
And you know what? We should stop defending him. Every time we bring it up, we have to. I'm sick and tired of us. And we shouldn't have to defend him anymore. We know he's a good worker. We know he knows his shit. And we know that he's going to put on a good match because that's what he's been doing. That's why he headlined WrestleMania fucking 2 out of 3 years. So whoever thinks that he's not the guy because the fans don't fucking want him to be. Okay? Correct. He's not the guy because the fans think differently. The fans always don't dictate what goes on, obviously. There's the fucking snap. There's the light, the bright light that goes on, the light bulb in the head. There's several people now behind the scenes that dictate what he does and what he says, okay? They don't feel comfortable with him ad-libbing, okay? Maybe it's because he's not as energetic. Maybe he's not as organic as a John Cena, as a Miz, as a Seth, as a Dean Ambrose. Like, you know, he's not as organic, and that's fine. Everybody can't be the same. If that was the case, it'd be the most. It'd be more boring than what it is now.
Correct.
So,
but Shaylin, I disagree with you. I mean, Cena paid his dues, but Roman Reigns was not there just because of his family. Roman Reigns had paid, even though he didn't pay his dues in the indie scene, Roman Reigns was in developmental for a long time. If I'm not mistaken, he was in developmental for a good 5 or 6 years. The guy went from being, what was his name? Lia Kay? What was a shitty fucking name, to being Roman Reigns. I mean,
it helped. The Samoan lineage helps.
Yeah, but he's not. It wasn't because of his family that he's in the spot that he's in.
No, no. It's because he has a look to him.
There's a look.
He's a good-looking Samoan.
He's a handsome half-breed. He's half. Believe it or not, he's half Samoan and half Italian.
Well, listen, the handsome half-breed is Gino Hernandez.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Don't get it twisted.
I apologize.
Good rest in peace, Gino.
Yeah, thanks for swallowing all that coke.
Come on, man. Will you stop?
Will you stop?
We all know he didn't swallow coke. It was...
No, he just did a lot of it, though.
Yeah, he did do a lot of it, but I still think it was a murder.
Yeah. That's a Kevin Castle return to Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, Kevin, you and Kevin can talk about that.
Oh, yeah. I think that was a murder.
You know what? I'm sick and tired of defending Roman Reigns, man.
We don't have to. I was.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm sick of, you know, and no one's disagreed with us really in the long scheme. We haven't got any feedback on social media about it, you know. But it is what it is.
What else? What else? What else? What else? What did you? Oh, did you see that we have new tag team champions on SmackDown? The new Day.
Oh yeah, New Day beat the Usos. Yeah, it was a good match.
It was a good match.
Second match that they put on, that was good.
Yeah. Those two teams have chemistry though.
Good for them.
And what are your thoughts on this new team of Gable and Shelton Benjamin?
I like it.
Me too.
I like
it. I enjoy the fuck out of that team.
Gable reminds me of Daniel Bryan a lot. Not in style.
No,
in stature.
In stature.
In character. Like the little guy, energetic, can run, can go, you know.
I love his finishing move.
Yeah.
The Chaos Theory. Ugh.
And not for nothing, Shelton Benjamin is Shelton Benjamin. He is the gold standard. He's one of those guys that gets it all the time, you know?
I feel like pairing him with Gable was a good idea. And I feel like sooner or later, those guys are going to be tag team champions.
I think, honestly, that Shelton Benjamin saved Gable's career.
I think so, too.
Because of them splitting up him and Jordan.
Yep.
Where was he going to go? He's a tag team wrestler, that guy. I can't see Gable in a singles role yet. I don't see him at all doing it at all.
I can't see Jordan as a singles guy either, but they still did it anyways.
Well, if you had to pick two, I would pick Jason Jordan. He's got more of a look to him. Just a look. I'm not talking about. Let's pretend that you didn't know that you didn't know how they wrestled, and you were in a conference room, and you had to pick two guys. You had to pick one of the two of those guys to have a solo career. Jason Jordan has a look,
but he doesn't have the charisma.
No. Pretend you're in a conference room.
And I never seen these guys before.
You're in a creative. You're in creative, and you said, okay. Look at this board. Who looks more appealing to you? I guarantee you half the room is going to pick, or a third of the room is going to pick Jason Jordan.
It's just because he's 6'2 and 250.
Right.
It's fine.
Exactly. It's, again, dude, it's a look. You have to, listen, when you read a Dirty Nudie magazine, right, you're not, I read it for the articles. No, you don't. You're looking at it because this chick's getting deep sixed, all right? Or the chick had big knockers or a nice coolie, you know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. You know, you look. There's a look. You have to when you met your wife, you were attracted to her. She looked good. You didn't know she had a personality until you started fucking hanging out with her.
Correct.
All right. So there's the first impression is important. And when you're a sports entertainer, I think it's more important if you're an entertainer. Same thing with an actor or an actress, like. You have to sell yourself, man. And I think Jason Jordan had a better look to him, but I'm not saying he's a better wrestler. I'm just saying that that's this.
I think Jason Jordan's a very good wrestler.
I think he's a good wrestler too.
Do I think he's better than Chad Gable? I think they're about dead even in terms of wrestling ability. I think Chad is like, I wish they hadn't split those two guys up because I think they could have been like the next Steiners.
Mm.
They were.
But the Steiners were. They had chemistry because they were related.
But the way they looked, the way they wrestled, they reminded me of the Steiners. A little bit.
Okay.
They were really good in the ring as a team, but you know what? It is what it is.
If it be that way, let it be, baby.
Let it be, baby.
Let it be, baby. That's it right there.
That's it.
Ooh, look at this barbecue.
Wow, we got a mess here. Look at this barbecue.
Yep. So, any other news?
I think that was it.
That was it?
I think so.
All right. Yeah, I have nothing else. The Mae Young Classic, Ronda Rousey.
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. I watched the finals. It was all right. It was like, I watched way too much wrestling today.
I heard Kairi Sane was really good.
Yeah, she's good, man. She's good. Half those girls could be signed. Half the girls in that tournament that you, if you look at them.
Alpha Female should be signed. The German chick?
She would be a fucking beast.
Her and Nia, I think she would replace Nia
Jax.
She's
a badass too, dude.
She's awesome.
She does mixed martial arts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's a badass.
I remember her in TNA. She was good.
I follow her on the social media.
Okay.
On the tweet machine. And she's constantly reinventing herself, like giving herself different hairstyles. And she endorses all these supplements and shit. She's real popular in Europe, obviously. She's German.
Yeah.
But the German crowds the European crowds like her, you know. So
I really, you know which girl I really want in that company is Tessa Blanchard.
Yeah.
I think Tessa Blanchard has so much upside to her. She has a really good look.
Well, they signed her, didn't they?
I don't think they did yet. No. They got her signed for the Mae Young Classic, but I don't think they signed her.
I remember her a couple of years ago with Chris Payne.
I met her. I remember. I think I forgot to tell you. Remember that was the first time I met you. That night I met her. She's a sweetheart.
The night that Tully fucking blew out his.
Yeah.
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 I think it was also the night he gave me the fall. We took a picture
together. Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was also the night, I believe, that what's his name knocked her the fuck out with the backhand. Was God damn it, was it Kingston?
Yeah.
He did a backhand slap and knocked her the fuck out.
I like Eddie Kingston.
He's dope.
He's one of my guys. I like him. I liked him in Chikara. I liked him in a whole bunch of promotions.
He was good in ROH, I believe, too.
Speaking of ROH, final battle tickets went on sale.
Yeah, I never responded, man. I forgot about that.
I don't think Rob got tickets yet.
Oh, you didn't get tickets yet?
Yeah, I don't think he got tickets yet.
I heard the seats are not as good as last time because they were selling out like fast.
Yeah, I mean, we'll probably wind up going. Hope we wind up going. I know the main event is Suzuki versus Cody Rhodes.
Cody's going to retain. There's no way he's dropping that belt.
Yeah, I just wish they put the Never belt up. This way Cody has both belts going to Japan. Because, you know, right after that is right at the final battle is Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I know.
So you want to see, you know, that'd be fucking cool if Cody had the both belts walking in.
Oh, speaking of New Japan, how is Kenny Omega doing? Because I know he's out with a knee.
He's out for like another couple of weeks. It's not like a big deal.
Oh, it's not serious.
No, he's got like he pulled some muscles in his knee or something like that. I think he pulled his MCL.
How about the Gorillas of Destiny, their brother?
Their brother, yeah. He filled in for Kenny Omega.
I know. He's a monster, dude.
That fucking Samoan lineage, man.
I love the Gorillas. I like Tama Tonga, though. I think he's like more... he has more of an upside than the other two.
They're gonna break away from Bullet Club.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. I think he wants big things. Tama Tonga wants to run shit. He's gonna start his own little crew. I think.
I can see him as an IC champ.
I can also see Killer Elite Squad taking some gold,
dude. I remember how you said that
they came out and jumped everybody a couple weeks ago.
Okay, remember how you said Davey Boy Smith looks great?
He does,
dude.
Man.
He is ripped to the fucking gills right now.
He looks fantastic.
He looks great. He looks better than his dad.
Suzuki Gun is gonna win some belts, man. They're gonna win some belts.
Oh yeah,
they already have the Evil. I mean, they already have the Never title. I think they have the six man. No, I think Evil has the six man Never titles. I forget. But yeah.
Killers, they're going to get the IWGP title.
I hope so.
They are.
Then a War Machine, you got a few War Machine, Gorillaz of Destiny, and then you got Taguchi and Ricochet as the junior tag champions.
Yep.
New Japan's in good shape.
The tag team scene in New Japan is so good.
Yeah, the tag team. New Japan is set. They're set.
And it's mostly all Gaijin, if you think about it.
Man, well, like, but I told you that months ago that the Gaijin were going to run shit over there.
Which is good. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great.
You want to real quickly go over the, whatchamacallit, the Global Force, the fucking pay-per-view coming up, or do we care? Or?
I don't care, because I'm a little concerned about the people that are working for the company, the performers, because it looks like the company might be going away.
No, Bound for Glory is, they're teasing it to be in Europe.
Which is their WrestleMania.
Right. It's going to be in UK. No word on when it will take place, but it's probably gonna announce it.
It won't be live though.
Well, they're teasing it. They have a tease with a cage over the. It says Bound for Glory, but the Bound for Glory has the Britannia, the British flag.
Okay, all right. I really feel bad for the performers there, because it's not. It's really not the fault of the performers. It's just the management, dude.
Viewership is up, dude. I mean, more people are watching it.
Because I think Eli Drake is going to be the saving grace of that company.
They average, I have every episode from January 5th to now listed. They average between 250 and 375,000 viewers a week.
That's nothing.
Right.
That's peanuts.
Yeah.
Because I remember when they were back in 2006, they were getting at least 2 million viewers a week. And now they're not even getting that.
It ranked 147 out of 150 out of the cable programs. So it's at the bottom of the, it's also on fucking Pop. So
Anthem's going to excel that thing. They if you know what it is, TNA should have just let Billy Corgan buy the fucking company, man. Because now he owns the rights to the NWA.
There's a new NWA champion too. I forgot his name already. I forgot, but he won the belt from Rob Conway had it.
Conway still has the belt?
I think he did, yeah. I haven't been keeping up with that in a while. I feel bad, but...
Well, the NWA is dead anyways.
Yeah. All right. Is that it? Do we have anything else?
Let's do our throwback, dude.
Let's take a break.
Yep.
Plug our friends. And we'll be right back with Lord Alfred Hayes taking us into the break.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
If you're not tuned in to the Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
Oh my God, I just love the Shining Wizards. It's four fucking virgin marks complaining about a fucking fake fighting show. Keep going, boys. The Stallion fucking loves you.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantemradio.com. It's the Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you a pro wrestling fan that also listens to heavy metal? Neckbreaker was designed just for you. Wrestling headlines, metal panels, drinking games, and interviews with guests including Chris Jericho, Nile, Frankie Kazarian, Symphony X, Eric Bischoff, and tons more. Have some drinks with us and listen to Neckbreaker Podcast, available for free on iTunes, Google Play, the Shining Wizards Network, Stitcher, or grab our full archive over at neckbreaker.net.
Do you like obscure references?
Vince just did the old Joel Gertner hand dance, which is awesome.
Pointless banter.
It's that chicken I smell, I'm gonna roll this rock out of the way.
And political dumb fuckery.
I haven't played this bad since I was in my 20s.
Then join us every weekend on the Inconclusive Breakdown Podcast, your source for anti-PC entertainment news and commentary.
Hey, it's Mike from the Midnight Jury. Join myself and my co-hosts, Adam, Cal, and Sydney, as we bring to you the best in 80s and 90s pop culture, pro wrestling, and horror movies. You could join in the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and we are available at our home at WLWstudios.com, along with the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and TuneIn Radio. Forget about Blu-ray, forget about iPhones, and forget about flat-screen TVs, and travel back with us to the last old-school generation when it was all about Walkmans, arcades, and malls. Once again, that's The Midnight Jury, available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and our home at WLWstudios.com.
Buddy, this is original Globe Girl Little Egypt, and you're listening to Turnbuckle Throwback Radio Podcast.
I don't think any tag team has been talked about more in recent weeks than the Machines from Japan. You saw how my colleague Mean Gene Okerlund traveled to the Far East and finally was able to locate the Super Machine and the Giant Machine, and now, finally, the Machines from Japan have arrived here in the United States and have agreed to be my guest. Giant Machine, Super Machine, first off, welcome to the United States.
Domo arigato. Your friend Gene-san come to Japan. Speak with Wakamatsu-san, our stable master. He invites us, encourages us to come to the United States. Something Giant-san and myself have dreamed about, thought about when we begin pro wrestling in Nippon.
Of course, it's been well documented for years now. You and Giant Machine, as you say, have been Ichiban, number one tag team in Japan.
We have been very successful in our homeland. But Wakamatsu-san has spoken with Abano-san and says, you must go to the United States. You must prove yourself outside your homeland, outside Japan. Giant-san, myself, are very happy, very, very happy to be able to come to the United States, show the people, show the wrestlers our ability.
I trust you had a smooth journey over to this country?
So, a little bit have turbulence, you call it? Turbulence, a little bit sick, but everything okay now.
All right, legs getting under you. No problems with immigration?
No.
Okay. Now, Giant Machine. Matter of fact, if we could, sometimes it's hard for you fans at home to judge the size of these wrestlers here on TV. Giant Machine, if I could. Now, I'm an average man, about 6'1", 200 pounds. I'd like to have you, if we could, just compare, Giant Machine, if I could, compare hand size. Oh, okay, we can do it. There you get an idea of the tremendous size of the Giant Machine, 500-plus pounds, and, of course, the Super Machine, 300-plus pounds. Now, Giant Machine, one team that seems to be very critical of you and Super Machine have been King Kong Bundy and Giant John Studd.
I saw.
Exactly. He says he, John Studd, is the only giant of professional wrestling. There are no others.
I saw.
Super Machine, perhaps if you could explain in Japanese.
Says, is that correct?
That is correct.
There's only one Ichiban.
A little dice race for you.
Yeah.
1986.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, this was like, we didn't have Minecraft. This is my Minecraft, this video. That's right.
God, I miss music videos.
I watch them on YouTube all the time now.
Yeah. Remember the box?
Yeah, when you had to pay, you call and
you pay 99 cents for the video that you wanted to see.
Yeah.
You know what I used to do? I used to pay 99 cents, and then I would record the video.
On videotape?
On VHS. Oh, dude, I love doing that.
Show up on your mom's phone bill, she flips out.
She's like, what the fuck is this 99 cents charge?
Choppy's ordering fucking... What was the videos back then you were ordering?
Gangsta's Paradise from Coolio. Ain't Nothing But a G Thing, Baby, from Dre and Snoop.
Nice.
what do you call it? Enter Sandman from Metallica.
Yeah.
Damn, what was another one? I think even ordered TLC Waterfalls.
I remember I ordered, I was at a girl's house, I did it on her phone. I ordered a song called Legend by House of Pain.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
But the rock version.
Oh yeah.
You never heard the rock
version? No.
I'll play a little bit of it.
Put it on.
Yeah, but it was it's pretty dope. It's a remix on if you bought the CD single.
Okay.
You know? Let's see here. Let's see.
Oh, what was it? Trying to think here.
Lethal Dose remix there.
Oh, California Love from Tupac. I used to get a lot. I know how much you love Tupac. Wow, I don't remember this. Wow.
Yeah. They used to play this on the box all the time.
What other video? Can you remember?
Some Weird Al shit I used to play.
Oh, which one? Was it
Amish Paradise?
Amish Paradise?
Yeah, there was a few of them. On Point by House of Pain.
Okay.
With the boxing ring, when it comes Rock a Funky Joint, I'm on point. Well, when they reminisce, Pete Rock and CL Smooth. But I did it at this girl's house. I fucking ruined her mother's phone.
Oof.
I didn't give a shit.
Oh, you know, there was another one I got? It was Beastie Boys, Intergalactic.
Intergalactic, yeah.
Oh, my God, I love that fucking song.
My wife one time said to me that album, like, changed her life. Like
really?
Well, you have to understand, I'm 6 years older than her. I'm 10 years older than you. My Beastie Boys Life Changing Reality album was their second one, which was Paul's Boutique when they signed with Capitol Records.
Yep.
I could do this all day, but, you know, but it is what it is.
That's another podcast.
Yeah, Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich and Legend Ain't Nothing But a Cut. The fucking song is dope, the House of Pain song. But yeah, I played that on the box. And then I would go to sleep to it. I would lay in bed sometimes, just keep it on and let them.
For all the young listeners that don't know what the box is, it was a music, it was like MTV, but it was just strictly all music videos.
You had a video jukebox. You would call and make your selection with a 3-digit code.
Yep.
And it'd charge you $1 on your phone bill.
And that was it.
That was it.
And that's how we watched videos.
Yeah, and I had cable in my room when I still lived at home. I would do a choppy that I would record, but I would let the tape play. And just like shut the TV off and record a bunch of videos. And
yeah,
it'd be background noise for me when I was home cleaning my house or whatever.
Did you ever order any of this stuff from the '80s? Because I never did. You know why I never did the '80s stuff? Is because I was watching VH1 Classic.
Yeah,
that was my shit.
I loved Pop Up Video.
Pop Up Video was dope.
Yeah,
I love that. I miss that.
Yeah,
God, I miss music television.
Yeah. The MTV is trying to bring back all the 90s shit. They want to bring back TRL and also the...
No, sorry.
Like, go away.
Fuck off.
Go away.
Fucking losers. You've ruined MTV with your fucking reality TV. Nobody wants to see Catfish. Nobody wants to see fucking... What is it? Road Rules. Nobody wants to see any of that garbage.
Do you remember the second Real World? With Puck and Pedro.
Oh God! Is that the kid who had AIDS?
Yeah, please don't put your fingers in my peanut butter, please. I don't like you.
Fucking Real World. I hated that fucking show.
The first one was dope. I met this fun, cool story. I don't know. I'm getting into a throwback. Did you watch the first one?
Yes.
Remember Heather B, the rapper?
Yes.
Met her
really
by Grand Central and a record store called Strawberries.
Okay.
I met her.
She cool?
I had her cassette single in my bag. I was like, "You're so dope! I just got your single because KRS-One was producing her."
Yeah,
and I was like, "Dude, that's so dope!" You know. So I met her. She was the nicest girl on the planet.
Really,
really nice girl. Yeah, she's like, "Thank you so much for supporting me." I'm like, "Yeah, you guys are fucking dope. Keep doing your thing. It's cool." Yeah. I liked the first Real World. I was digging it.
The one reality show that I enjoyed was Tough Enough. The first one.
Yeah, the first one was good.
Really good.
Yeah. Yeah. You ready, partner?
Let's do it.
All right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network. and Rant EM Radio.
Oh, Otto Wands passed away.
I forgot about that.
I forgot to mention that.
Rest in peace.
Yeah. He was the German guy.
He was a large man.
Yeah, catch wrestling in
Germany.
AWA champion also.
I did not know that.
Yeah, he was AWA champion. All right. Let's get into this fresh throwback from the Boston Garden.
From the Garden.
From the Garden. 9,100 paid. From September the 6th, 1986. This is fresh after WrestleMania 2.
Yeah, you're right.
This was such a great time to be alive, man. I was a Met fan. It was 1986. The Mets were about to go into the playoffs, win the World Series. I could tell you that I was playing a ton of hockey at that time, and I was just starting to mess with girls at the roller rink.
Ooh.
Yeah, I got my first kiss that year.
Ooh.
Caught my first feel that year.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, I was pretty in a good place.
Well, did you grab a C cup or a B cup? What'd you grab?
Oh, I grabbed a few different cup sizes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I didn't play around. That roller rink was hopping.
Well, what was the biggest? Since you were, what, 12, 13 at that time?
We had a couple of D cups.
No way. Really?
Yeah. They built them good in my neighborhood, boy.
Woo!
I didn't say they were all good looking. They just had some big ass titties.
You know? That's okay.
Yeah.
Remember those butter faces, though. Never forget the butter faces.
Oh, but titties, man. Titties.
Titties are great.
Titties are great.
Hence the fact why we married the wives that we have.
Titties. Titties, titties.
Titties.
Titties. I see titties all day, like between work and the train and the bus. I'm like, there's so many titties in the city. Titties in the city. I'm a poet and didn't know it. Anyway, I picked this card because there's a couple of matches in here that just scream psychology. And we touched upon it in the first hour of the show, that there's not enough dramatics in wrestling, and there's not enough of a story. There are so much storytelling. There's so much of it in, you know. And another thing is, with these house shows, I think I mentioned this on the show already, that not every time the World Heavyweight Championship was defended.
Yeah, which was a rarity.
This was, well, it wasn't. It was they had B show, A and B. Like, the circuit was the Boston Garden, Madison Square Garden, the Spectrum in Philly, Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto. And then you had, like, the Hartford Civic Center and, you know, and this is not talking about the West Coast or Pacific Northwest. This was the main circuit, D.C., at the Cap Center in Maryland, in D.C., outside of D.C.
Excuse me.
You okay?
Yep.
Okay. And then they had, you know, that was the circuit. So if you went to a house show and you didn't see Hulk Hogan or the world title, you definitely saw the IC champ, and you saw the tag team champion.
The tag team champions were main eventing.
Yeah.
That was really good. It was
actually
surprising.
Actually, no, they didn't main event.
Really?
No, they were the next to last match. The Machines were the last match.
Really?
No, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. It was reversed. It was...
it was the Bulldogs and Iron Sheik and Volkov.
Well, I'm talking about the match order.
Oh, the match order. Sorry.
Yeah, the match order. But they were basically the headliner.
Of course.
Let's get into the first match. And now Choppy's rolling his eyes. He hated... He was tortured watching this.
Fucking Jimmy Snuka Jr. trying to...
Oh, Seviafi versus... The Duke of Dorchester.
The Duke of... That was my favorite right there. The Dorchester guy.
Dorchester.
He was awesome.
Pete Daugherty?
Yeah.
Seviafi was, again, another Samoan.
I thought he was a lot younger. He was up there already. He was like in his mid-30s by now.
Yeah, and he was... They played him as the nephew of Jimmy Snuka. I'm not sure if he was related or not, but he was a Samoan.
They tried so hard for him to be Jimmy Snuka, and it was just...
And they said he was related to Haku.
Yeah.
Was it Bobby Heenan? No,
it was Lord Alfred Hayes.
And he said, Gorilla goes, God bless you. It was so good. I like Gorilla Monsoon when he was calling matches with
Lord Alfred Hayes.
With his lordship, Alfred Hayes.
Will you
stop.
Yeah, exactly.
With his Lord shit.
With his Lord shit. Hayes was a heel back when he wrestled. He was a fucking major heel.
Yeah, but I didn't never. I remember, like, I forgot. We had a discussion about Lord Alfred Hayes. I never felt like he was a heel as a commentator, though.
No, he stuck up for the heels, though.
He did, right?
Yeah. So Siviafi fought Pete Doherty. Duke of Dorchester was a local jobber. He only wrestled in, like, New York, New England, but he was from Dorchester.
Yeah.
Dorchester. We park your car. You wicked hard.
He's like a man from Fall River.
Fall River.
They're a lot tougher over there.
Yeah, like a wicked pisser.
Yeah. Rat bastard.
You rat bastard. Go to Harvard Yard. Park your car. What are you, retarded?
What are you, fucking retarded?
retarded? Yeah, this was a regular opener, curtain jerker.
Did you ever go to Fenway Pack?
Me? Six times.
You went to Fenway?
Oh, yeah, every Father's Day.
No, I've never been there.
It's a gem of a field.
Really?
Gotta get a Fenway Frank.
How was a Fenway Frank?
Oh, yeah.
It's good?
It's delicious. And they have this Daniel Hall, which is like the South Street Seaport of Massachusetts. And you go down, there's all these food carts and shit. Like, you would love Boston, man.
I love Boston. I've been there. I've never been to Fenway, though.
Oh, you'd love Daniel Hall, and you just dope.
I like going to Cheers Bar.
It's not the way the show is.
I know.
You can go downstairs, but it's not
the same. It's not the same setup.
Not,
I know.
Not at all. No.
Oh, the Duke of Dorchester. He disappointed me this night.
Yeah.
God damn it. Why did he lose?
By the way, this card is on the network. It's under the old school.
Yeah, go to the old school option. It's September 9th, 1986.
1986, yep.
It was a good card. It wasn't all bad.
What about Pedro Morales versus Rene Goulet?
Oh, God. Jesus Christ. A bunch of old codgers, a bunch of geriatrics out there trying to wrestle.
But let me tell you something, though, about this match. This went almost 11 minutes.
11 minutes too long.
Well, yeah, your opinion, of course. I thought that it told a story. These guys had no history, but Rene Goulet was the typical heel, worked on the body parts, walked outside.
He was working on the shoulder, I believe.
Yeah, Pedro went for one point. He went for like a. He left his feet and went for like a shoulder tackle.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Goulet moved, and Pedro ate it well. And he, you know, he sold. Pedro sold. Pedro was like. I think Pedro was the first Triple Crown
winner. He was, yes.
He was so popular in Boston and
New York.
In New York, because the Puerto Rican crowd.
Contention, yep.
Yeah, it was crazy. He was. Even when I went, when I was going to these matches in 86 and 87. He was still wrestling. He was still over.
You know what was my favorite part of this match? Is when, you know, Pedro was trying to get into the match, and then every time Pedro would go in, Rene Goulet was trying to kick him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
And then he would sell the shoulder every time he got kicked in it. I was like, this is great.
Yeah, and again, psychology.
Correct.
Just, you know, cutting guys off, cutting, you know, making sure you get your shit over, but you're selling it as well. And it was well done. Rene Goulet wound up being with the company for like 30 years.
He became an agent and everything.
He became an agent and stuff like that. He was up there in age anyway at that point.
Was he already in his 50s?
I don't know how old he was, but he always looked old. Matter of fact, he was involved in the IC title match. We'll get into it. He was one of the, he came out to
To help out. Yeah.
We'll get into that in a second. Gotcha. But yeah, no, it was a good match, man. It was, you know, maybe 10 minutes too long, but it told a good story. If you were there, it would keep your interest. If you were a fan of that kind of wrestling, you would definitely appreciate it.
You want to know something? I'm glad that, and this goes back to psychology again. I'm glad that Pedro Morales did not use the Boston Crab in this match. Remember, his shoulder was fucked up.
Right.
And you need your arms to do the Boston Crab.
And he couldn't
do it. So he did something else. Saying? Yeah, it was smart.
This is why I make you watch this shit, because you have to see this to appreciate it. You have to see the science of it. There's like, guys wouldn't do that back now. Guys would just do the spot movement. And that's it. Yeah. Like, they don't care that they just work their knee over, and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't care. Like, you didn't see Arn Anderson didn't throw a DDT if his arm was hurt.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of party. Ric Flair didn't do the figure four if his knee was fucked up. You know what I'm saying? He would work on, like, do a roll up.
Or just
would,
do a low blow, and that's it.
Do a low blow, and that's it. So, let's take you to probably Choppy's favorite match.
Ooh, yeah!
the newly crowned Intercontinental Champion.
The Macho Man, Randy Savage, yeah.
With the lovely Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, she was lovely,
taking
yeah.
Taking on the man himself, George Animal Steel, who's in the room.
Boats.
Boats? Who's that?
Hey, boys, how are you regular in the pants in the chat? Thanks for keeping on keeping on. You guys on the other cast have been a commute lifesaver for a good long time now. Man, no problem. Do it anytime.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Or madam. Could be a girl, you know.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you, person.
Thank you, thank you, person. Thank you. Thank you, non-gendered person.
So Savage has been champ now since February. Gorilla makes a note of that.
And who did Savage beat for the title?
He beat in that arena.
Chico Santana.
He beat Chico Santana.
The same weapon he used in that match. He used it against George the Animal Steel.
This match was so good, and I'll tell you why. Again, psychology.
It was nice.
It was nice.
Surprise.
Yeah, so, and,
fucking retard.
So, this match was so good in terms of psychology. Savage was meticulous. George Steele did everything right to the, down to the point of getting himself disqualified. With the, and they threw chairs at it back and forth, and they were working on each other, body parts, and, you know, Savage did his whole maintaining the ring general cutoff. Like he would fucking just have George Steele at the brink of insanity and then break off of him again. George would stay up a hand when he would do a bite or, you know, George's finisher was the chicken wing.
Yes.
But he couldn't get it on because Savage wouldn't let him.
Yep.
So he made George so fucking worked up that he got him disqualified, that he got himself disqualified. He retains the title. But that wasn't the best part of the match. The best part was George is in the ring. He's pissed off. And he's like yelling at the ref. When the announcer announced that Savage was the winner, he went after the ring announcer. Who comes back in the ring? Savage comes back in the ring. There's no music. There's no... Like, security couldn't catch him fast enough.
Yeah.
Rene Goulet came
comes out just to stop
right.
it.
And it was like, Savage goes back in the ring and fucking destroys him. And George still looks like a million bucks.
Yeah.
Savage wins the match, doesn't get a pin, retains a title, but he makes George the Animal still look like a million bucks, Choppy. You have to respect that. You have to respect that boundary that was that line that was crossed through the entire match. And then of course George Steele looks like a million bucks, brings a kid in the ring with him who wears that same shirt that I have now twice.
Fucking autistic kids going into the ring.
So
God damn it.
I like the kid goes to, the kid runs to the corner and starts to bite the turnbuckle and couldn't get it.
Yeah, and then that's when he and then George like pushes him away and does it himself.
Again. And made George look like a million bucks.
Well, I mean, the Macho Man, when he did the match, he was a prima donna, you know?
He was unbelievable.
Unbelievable. The cream of the crop, yeah. Tito Santana has a crying towel.
Yeah.
Elizabeth, did I tell you to talk?
Yeah, I want you to go down on your knees and lick the back of my ass.
Yeah. Ring that bell.
I want you to give me a rusty trombone. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want you. Yeah, I want you to stroke it. Yeah.
Yeah, stroke it.
He'd be a great phone sex operator. Can you imagine? Hey, baby, what you wearing? Yeah. Yeah, I'm stroking it. What are you doing? Yeah. You like that? Ooh, how big are your big. Ooh, how big are them knockers? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm harder than Chinese math right now. Ain't that day yet?
Oh, my God.
You'd be a great phone sex operator. Ooh, dial 1-900. Ooh, yeah. We'll give you good phone sex.
Ooh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm touching it. What are you doing? You could touch it, too. Dial 1-900. Ooh, yeah. Come here, yeah.
How would you like to talk to the IC champ? How would you like to hold my belt?
You want
to
touch my gold, baby?
It's not the only thing that's hard. Yeah.
What's causing all this? 10 pounds of gold in my cock. All right, enough of that.
Oof, I can go on and on.
I know I can. It should be a bit Randy Savage phone sex.
Oof.
This was a good match. The Hall Foundation taking on Spivey and Rotundo.
Dude, how did Spivey look so identical to Barry Windham, bro, in this match?
Windham had left at this point to come back to the NWA.
I remember.
What's going on in chat?
Shaylin's loving our impressions. I'm dying right now.
Ooh, yeah, you wet the pants?
Yeah.
Yeah, you damp? You damp in the seat?
Ooh, yeah.
This match goes to a 20-minute draw. And they changed the name. They used, when Windham and Rotunda used to be U.S. Express, they changed it to American Express.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Their theme song, was that dubbed? It was that their original? It was dubbed, right? It was
Born in the USA.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, by and so was the Machines had another theme song, too, and they overdubbed it.
Yeah.
So
Savage with the phone sex company in a battle with Dusty's rival company. Do it, Dusty. You ask phone sex conversation.
So let me tell you something, baby. What I'm wearing is I'm wearing a pair of boxers and a guinea tee. And I'm sitting here, I'm stroking my stuff, if you will. And I want you to take down your panties. Take them down nice and slow, if you will. Live on the end of the lightning bolt with Big Dusty. Yeah, don't touch my gown head. I'll smack your face.
So, Dusty, is that what you call your thing? The lightning bolt?
You could touch my lightning bolt, baby. I reserve this stratosphere for me and you for 99 cents a minute. That 1-900, the bull of the woods.
1-900-99-9900.
Woo! Woo! Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, man.
This match was very, very good, man. This I thought, and it was weird because, again, they went from Windham to Spivey. And like you said, it was like a doppelganger. Like
they looked identical, dude.
Spivey even wore cowboy boots.
Yes, he did.
Like, what the fuck? Yep. You know? I like Spivey more because he plays for my favorite college team, the Bulldogs. He played for the University of Georgia. So, I like that.
I like Spivey just because he was Waylon Mercer in the 90s.
No, I like... Oh, no. Spivey had a dope bulldog, dude.
He did. I know.
He had a dope fucking bulldog.
But I liked him as Waylon Mercer, bro. He was really good in that gimmick.
Yeah.
But then he was also very good in the NWA. I thought he was pretty good.
No, he was good, period. He was good in the Varsity Club, Skyscrapers.
Him and Sid were great.
He was good in Japan.
Yes.
Yeah, him and Ace. I think him and Ace were a team for a while.
Yes.
He was in all Japan. I know that.
Yeah.
So,
how old was Spivey at this time? He's probably like in his 30s by now, right?
No, he's in his 20s.
No, dude.
It wasn't Rotunda. It was Rotundo. This doesn't matter. It just depends on which era it was.
You know what it is about Rotundo? I think the reason he never got like past a certain level is just because his look wasn't like he wouldn't have the look. But he was a very good worker.
He was a great worker, and I think they didn't give him a singles run until the end. He was a great TV champion in NWA.
Yes, I agree.
He was strictly a tag team wrestler in WWF.
But he was very good.
Yeah, and it helped that he was banging Blackjack Mulligan's daughter. So
that's true.
Yeah, that helped a lot. So, and produced some good kids out of it, too, because they're all wrestling now.
Yeah, yeah.
Three of his kids are wrestling. So, it's all and his uncle. And when your uncle is Barry Windham, nobody cares about Uncle Kendall. But when your uncle's
Autistic Kendall?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he probably thought that number 4 started the whole numerical order, and that's why he probably held up the 4 fingers. He's not, what was this? He's got to be one of the most underrated dudes in the game. Actually, you should put together a top 10 for a future show.
Top 10?
Dan Spivey, I mean. Oh. Yeah, he was. I thought he was a very good worker.
I don't know if he was top 10 of all time.
Not of all time, but he was very underrated as a worker.
Oh, yeah, no. That's
very underrated.
Yeah, again, that was a guy that they used primarily in it. I didn't see anything singles-wise out of him until he was like, what, Waylon Mercer? He wasn't. He was the tag team wrestler primarily in NWA.
Correct.
In All Japan and also in WWE. So
what his appeal was his height. He was such a big man.
Yeah, Vince liked the big guy. So
yeah.
And he was agile for his size. You know, he can go, you know.
Vince liked to cook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vince. Well, let me... No, get me started.
Let me tell you something, you know. The Vince liked the macho cock. Yeah. The
macho cock.
he liked...
the name of the show. Tonight's episode, Macho Cock.
He liked the macho man's cock, yeah. Why do you think DX got the DX cock from? He got it from the macho man, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 20-minute draw. Hart Foundation.
These two teams have great chemistry. By the way, I love.
How about the constant in and out, like the tag?
Constant tags.
The hot tag.
Yes.
It was one. It was a 20-minute hot tag. You know, and the Hart Foundation was so. I mean, take nothing away from Rotundo and Spivey. The Hart Foundation was so good.
And if I'm not mistaken, they were just put together as a team, correct? Or no?
No, well...
Because they were wearing the blue tights.
They just replaced... Who? The Hart Foundation?
Yes.
No, they've been together for about almost a year? Two years
at that point.
Because Bret Hart came in the company 84.
That I know, yes. And then he was still...
85 and 86, they did the Hart Foundation.
Gotcha.
So, they didn't do the pink tights till like 87.
87, yeah.
Yeah, and then they hooked up with Jimmy. Well, Jimmy Hart wasn't at ringside either.
Yeah, I noticed that. Why wasn't he there?
Because he was probably managing on the A show.
Oh, that's right. They mentioned it on commentary as well.
Yeah, like the only manager that night was Slick
and Bobby Heenan.
Bobby Heenan, yeah, of course. But then Slick with the Slick had just taken over the contracts of
Nikolai and Iron Sheik
because Blassie was no longer with the company at that point. So. But it was a good match.
I wish people gave Neidhart more credit because he was a very good tag team wrestler.
I don't think he was underestimated, though.
You know what it is? A lot of people gave Bret more credit for the tag team than they did Neidhart. Because I believe Neidhart was a really good worker, a really good tag team specialist. Because if you think about it, when Bret went onto his singles career, he had a pretty good successful tag team with Owen, with the New Foundation. And I thought they were great together. I just wish, despite his personal problems right now in present day, I believe that Neidhart was a really good talker and a very good tag team specialist. I think he should have gotten more tag team title runs with different partners after Bret's singles run.
You know, you're right. There's some truth to that. I didn't hold him in that regard. I held him as a really good tag team wrestler.
He was. Oh yeah.
I never thought of him as being underrated until you brought that up. Like because I guess you guys, I guess the younger crowd made him more of a.
Because I always thought that Bret made the team.
Right.
And then I realized as I got older, I was like, you know what, Neidhart was actually really good.
Yeah. So that was a good match, 20-minute match.
It was. I enjoyed it.
Harley Race was new to the company at this point.
Oh, fuck my life, this match.
And he fought Corporal Kirshner. That went almost 14 minutes.
My favorite line from the commentating team.
Yeah.
He was like, whoa, where's Gorilla? Where's Harley Race's crown? Isn't he the king? He goes, and then Lord Alfred Hayes, where's the handsome? Where's his looks? Isn't he supposed to be handsome? What a great fucking line.
Was never a fan of Corporal Kirshner.
What was his deal? I didn't know too much about him.
He was former military.
He was legit military.
Yeah, wound up being a wrestler. Wound up going to jail for not paying his alimony.
Really?
Or child support, something like that. Something had to do with not paying his family money as he went to jail for it. Became a truck driver. Somebody that I would love to have him on the show because I want to ask somebody like him. He had a short term, really big run being the superhero American. Again, you have to understand something. It was the 80s. It was fucking America was hated by everybody again, like now. But it was Russia. It was the Middle East. It was Iran. It was like there was still that nasty tension. And that anti-American versus the American always wins in wrestling. Yeah. Always. Always, always, always.
I would like to have him on the show just to ask him this one question. Was he there to replace Slaughter?
No, because Slaughter was not in the company at that time.
He was doing G.I. Joe.
Well, he was in the AWA.
But he was also doing the G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe, but he was... Vince wanted a G.I. Joe. It wasn't really replaced. Sarge wrestled in the 70s.
I know that.
In the early 80s. Oh, yeah. With Pat Patterson. They had the Correct. Brawl in the Garden.
I love that match, by the
way. That's a great match.
It is.
But, yeah, Sarge was in the company for a minute before he went to the G.I. Joe.
I just want to know if he was there to, if Corporal Kirshner was there to replace him.
No, he was.
Because Vince wanted a G.I. Joe there.
No, because he needed a superhero.
Yeah.
He had Campatera. He had guys like Ted Arcidi.
Yeah, that's right. Ted Arcidi was a monster, dude.
Right, he always had that superhero
yeah.
type shit going on. But yeah, this went 13 minutes way too long. Harley Race carried the match. Harley Race is a great wrestler. Even when he was old, he wrestled well. I just thought that this was...
Even the cross body off the top rope was so overshot that he almost like hurt Harley in that with that move. And Harley, he did a good job of actually reversing it and still winning the match, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't like that pile driver that he did, though.
No. Well, you don't like Harley Race's pile driver?
I didn't like it.
No?
No, I for some reason, I like when they jump and then nail him, not when they just fall back.
Oh, no. Him and Tully Blanchard had that fallback.
I don't like that.
I love it. I
fucking hate that.
Oh, well, Paul Orndorff has the best pile driver in wrestling.
Yes, because he used to jump. He jumped and nailed you with the pile driver.
Yeah.
You know who else had a really good pile driver was Billy Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
Billy Gunn had a nasty pile driver. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of guys that have good pile drivers. Jerry Lawler had a good pile driver.
Eh.
Who else had a good pile driver?
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart had a good pile driver. Bruiser Brody had a good pile driver.
Lex Luger.
Luger had a... Yeah, as much as I hate Lex, he had a good
pile driver. The attitude adjustment that he did, it was good.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I agree. A lot of guys had good
Terry pile Funk driver. Had a nice pile driver.
Yeah, of course he did.
I think Terry Funk had
a But he good. Did a fallback too, though.
But I like the way he did it, though. I don't know what it was about the way he did it. I don't know. It just depends on the wrestler.
I guess so. Your next match was Bob Orton versus Cousin Luke. 4 minutes and 12 seconds. He beats Cousin Luke. Bob Orton at this time was the bodyguard of Adrian Adonis.
Yes, because he had the pink cowboy hat.
Pink cowboy hat on.
I love the fact that he got the knee up. Such a simple little move. Well, knee up.
Bob Orton.
That was it.
Yeah.
And then he rolled him up and that was it.
You want to talk classic mat wrestler? Bob Orton.
I remember Roddy Piper saying that, telling Bob, You gotta make mistakes in the match because you make everything too easy.
He carried a lot of times. He carried Piper in those tag matches because I'm not saying Piper was bad, but Piper wasn't a technician.
He was not.
No. But Bob Orton was a fucking technician.
I loved Bob Orton's superplex.
That was the first time I ever saw a superplex.
Oh, he was so good doing pulling
him,
that off.
Him and Barry Windham had the best superplexes ever.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Your next match was my favorite match of the night. Wasn't the best match of the night, but it was my favorite match.
The Machines?
Yes.
The Machines versus King Kong Bundy and Big John.
Right.
Could you imagine? Could you imagine if they had won the straps, Big John and King Kong Bundy?
You just took the words out of my mouth, dude.
Good God, dude.
I've been talking about this going back to Mega Powers on Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Bundy and Stud were one of my favorite tag teams.
They were good.
And they were so massively heelish and big, like John Studd, 6'10", 300 pounds, John Mitten. King Kong Bundy, the walking condominium.
6'4", 450 pounds.
Yeah, the walking condominium. Arms like legs like people.
Yes.
Know? The immovable force, meaning the...
Immovable object.
Immovable object, yeah. And he says that in the match. Taking on the Machines, Big Machine and Super Machine. The Machines were a gimmick in Japan. This was all Andre's brain trust, man. The Machines were... I forgot the original guy's name. He was Yuji something. But there was a gimmick in Japan called... They called themselves the Machines. And they wore these masks. So Andre took the idea from Baba and brought it to the States because...
Him and Baba were very good friends, by the way.
They were great friends. At this time, Andre needed time off to film The Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
So he brought in the Machines. And the angle was... that he was one of the Machines, and Bobby Heenan was like, you know, he's a machine. He was supposed to be suspended. And if I could take, you know, if you, same thing with the Midnight Rider. If you could take the, Jack Tunney told him, if you could take the mask off, he could be suspended. But they brought a third guy in, which was fucking Big Machine, who was Blackjack Mulligan.
Yep.
So Bobby Heenan was insanely mad. The Super Machine, which was the Masked Superstar, a.k.a. Demolition Axe, a.k.a. Bill Eadie, a.k.a. who was he in? He was in The Holds Barred. What was his name in The Holds Barred?
Oh, dude, I don't remember.
I forgot his name already. But they named him Super Machine because he was Masked Superstar.
Yeah.
They named Blackjack Mulligan Big Machine because he was big. But these guys didn't have a Japanese accent. I just played the promo for you. Bill Eadie had a terrible Japanese accent. But at this time, Big Machine basically replaced Andre so he could film The Princess Bride and did the circuit. When Andre came back, he was Giant Machine. But then they started incorporating all the faces just to piss off fucking Bobby Heenan. I was telling Chobby this. They had the Crippler Machine. They had the I forgot the guy's name. I forgot his name already. It wasn't Crippler Stevens. It was somebody else. There was a Crippler Machine on a couple of house shows.
Okay.
There was the Hulk Machine. There was the Animal Machine. And there was the Piper Machine. They all wore masks. It was hysterical. You knew who they were. But Hogan, before Hogan got his mask, he wore a fucking ski mask with sunglasses on for one of the promos. If I find it, I'll post it in the throwbacks page. What's going on in the chat room?
Sheldon saying, yes, I remember the machines, and I remember there was Hulk Machine at one point.
Right, so this is when... So Bobby Heenan went on Tuesday Night Titans with Bundy and Studd, and he was fucking infuriated. He's like, that's Andre the Giant. And then they were on the flower shop, and Big Machine... Swap as Bobby Heenan was talking, had his back turned. Big Machine swaps out with Andre, and he looked like like Bobby Heenan was probably the best next to Gary Hart. Was probably the fucking greatest manager of all time.
I'm gonna have to agree with you.
Right?
It's so hard to.
There's so many. There was Albano. There was Fuji. There was.
I think Gary Hart is like
Gary Hart was the fucking. He's man.
Awesome, dude. He used to get some really good guys.
Jimmy Cornette, like
Jim Cornette was great.
Oliver Humperdinck, J.J. Dillon.
I like Jimmy Cornette with Midnight Express.
Yeah, of course.
They were great together.
Yeah.
But then when you try to incorporate different guys, like for example, Bobby Heenan went well with anybody.
Yeah.
So
they beat the machines by machines beat Bundy and stuff by DQ.
Because Bobby got involved.
Bobby wound up fighting. At the Garden Show. I was at the Garden
Show. You went
show.
To that one? Yes. I was going to ask. That's great. The six man.
Yes. And that's right after that, they brought in the Hulk Machine. But that was the start of it. He was infuriated. He knew all of them were fake. And he called them out on their bullshit. And even like as a kid, I was like, that's. Well, I didn't know who Bill Eadie was at that point. I didn't know who Big Machine was. But I knew it was Andre. We all knew it was Andre. But it was such a fun angle. If I had my way, dude, I would get those masks from Japan, and we would be on fucking. I'd make a video. Eventually, Turnbuckle Throwbacks is going to be doing live video when I get the room set up.
Yeah, because I got the device, so we could do.
We could stream, yeah. But I want to get a camera so we can do the fucking. So we can do like a radio show, you know, like what ESPN does with Mike and Mike. But I want to be the Impact Machine. And I want you to be the choppy machine. The chop machine.
Okay.
And we're going to wear the masks the entire fucking show.
Awesome.
I want the machine masks. We have to find them.
Go to High Spots. Maybe they have it.
I hope they have it. Because I want it. I want it so bad. I need a machine's mask. I want to be the Impact Player Machine. The Impact Machine. Impact Machine. Ichiban, number one.
Ichiban.
Chop Machine, number one. Chop Machine.
The Chop Machine. That's crazy.
We would have the Hammer Machine. We'd have the Mandingo Machines. Right? We'd have the Mega Machine.
We have the Rage Machine.
The Rage Machine! We'd have the Mega Machine.
The Mega Machine is
dope. We'd have the Wizard Machines. The Wizards, all the Wizards could wear masks. Yeah, the dude. Wizard Machine. We'd have a whole crew of machines. Ichiban, number one podcast. We'd have the Rant Machine.
The Rant Machine?
Yeah. So we'd have, you know.
The Black Hammer Machine.
Yeah, the Black Hammer Machine, Tony C Machine. Well, the C Machine, we call him. We call Lee Champion the Lee Machine.
The Lee Machine.
Right? So everybody would be a machine. Shaylin would be a fucking machine.
Silver machine.
Shaolin Machine, what?
The Silver Machine.
The Silver Machine for surfing, yes! That's so dope!
It will work!
Right? That'd be so dope. We could all be machines. Yeah.
That'd be dope.
Yeah. Oh, man, now I'm all excited. I want a mask. All right, all right. The chop machine. The dude, chop machine. Come on, bro. We can get the kid the mask. Call him Peanut Machine.
The Peanut Machine. That's great.
The Brie Machine. Oh, dude. It would work, but she wouldn't wear a mask. Pre-mode.
El Juan Cena. Juan Machine.
Juan Machine.
Esta noche, sábado gigante.
Esta noche.
A patrocinado de Burger King.
Sponsored by Budweiser. Cerveza más fina.
Más fina.
All right, your final match of the evening was for the World Tag Team Championship. The champions, the British Bulldogs, Dynamite Kid, Davey Boy Smith, one of the greatest technical tag teams of all time.
I was in love with Dynamite Kid at this
top
time.
Five of my favorite tag teams of all time, next to the Road Warriors. They had won the titles at WrestleMania 2 from the Dream Team, Valentine and Beefcake, and Nikolai Volkoff and Iron Sheik were trying to get back from 85 what they had. They were tag team champions a year prior, and they were running roughshod over everybody. They were in a bit of a transition. Sheik and Volkoff. Sheik and Volkoff were a good team. They were underrated. The Sheik can wrestle. Volkoff was a fucking beast. He was like a fucking big Russian bear. He reminded me of Ivan Koloff a lot.
I think that the reason this team didn't go as... I mean, they won the tag strap, but I think they could have gone a little bit farther, but the problem is that they were getting up there in age. Like, you got to keep in mind, Iron Sheik was already in his mid-40s by now, and then Nikolai was getting close to 40.
That fuck is us. Make him humble.
I'm sorry, Sheiky, but you were old.
Then fuck his ass. Make him humble.
Okay, I'll stop then, Sheik.
So, that's a fair point. But now they're managed by the Doctor of Style, Slick, who was new to the company.
Yeah.
And Slick cutting promos. Slick was the man, dude. Slick was a great talker.
I liked the only time I liked Slick is when he was managing the
Natural Butch Reed.
No,
the Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers.
The Twin Towers.
Oh, they were great together, man. I love Akeem the African Dream.
Yeah.
That was a great team.
Yeah, but the match was good. It went almost 8 minutes, the match. Dynamite Kid was the Ricky Morton of WWF. That guy took...
You think so?
Oh, my God. He took a beating every fucking match.
But he was so tough, though, man.
Regardless, though.
Ricky Morton was not tough.
Well, Ricky Morton was... The Rock and Roll Express... I'm comparing the role of the team where Ricky Morton would take the beating for most of the match, then get the hot tag. That was Dynamite Kid. He would get pummeled almost every single match. Matter of fact, him being pummeled was how they won the titles, if you remember.
Yeah.
He took that bump, he couldn't even stand up.
Yeah.
But he would get crazy beat up and then make the hot tag to Davey Boy.
Yep.
And they would, you know, take care of business. But dude, there was the British Bulldogs to me. If Dynamite Kid never got hurt, they would have another 2-3 years run.
Just think about this. What if scenario?
Well, you're talking 87, 88 was when they finally like broke the team up.
Could you imagine? Just think about this for a sec. Could you imagine the Dynamite Kid, not injured, continue his WWF career in a singles run?
Nah, he wouldn't get a singles run.
No, come on.
Nope.
You don't think so?
Nope.
He was so talented.
No, you guys all got that Benoit thing in your head.
No, I'm not even talking about Benoit, dude.
But that's why people say that. I never saw him as a singles guy. Never.
Really?
Nope. Never saw him as a singles. I'm not saying he couldn't have, because he did in Japan. But at that time, he was too small. And he was way too fucking...
5'8", 220 pounds. I mean...
I never saw Brett as a singles guy either, though, until they broke him up.
But you want to know something? I thought it would... Just think about this. The matches he could have had with Owen.
No, I'm not... Again, I'm not saying it wouldn't have worked. I'm saying as a kid, I didn't see Dynamite Kid as a fucking singles wrestler.
Okay, that's fair.
I didn't. And I saw his stuff with Tiger Mask, you know, and stuff in Japan, which was epic.
His matches with Tiger Mask were fantastic.
Right. It should have been him. in the classic, in the wrestling classic, instead of Davey Boy. Okay. Davey Boy wrestled Ricky Steamboat in a classic.
That would have been great, dude.
If Dynamite Kid was in it and they had to fight each other.
Oh yeah.
That would have happened. Vince would have had that happen. If Dynamite Kid was in it, we should rebook the wrestling classic. I know your boy wins. Junkyard Dog wins it, but
yeah.
Let me see if your boy wins it. Maybe he'll win if we rebook it. You know, Junkyard Dog gets the Rolls Royce, allegedly.
Oh, this guy.
Anyway, match was good.
Match was good. I liked it. It was definitely a main event worthy match.
The average age of wrestlers was 36 years old.
Yeah.
On this card.
Let's see this. Okay, so we're talking 86. Dynamite was already 28 years old. He was still in his 20s.
Yeah.
Davey Boy was 20. I want to say he was still in his mid-20s, like 25.
Mm-hmm.
And then, everyone else was like 36, 35. I mean, Macho Man was 34
mm-hmm.
at this time.
Yep.
I think the oldest wrestler on the card was...
Harley Race.
No, it wasn't Harley.
You sure about that?
George Animal Steel.
Yeah.
Because he was born in the 1930s.
That's right. You're right.
I think Harley was like 43 or 44.
Yeah.
At this time?
Yep.
So it was a good card, man.
He was my age.
Wait a minute. What about Pedro Morales? Wasn't Pedro a lot older?
Pedro had to be, yeah.
Fuck, man. I didn't think about that.
Let me see. I can pull up Pedro.
Yeah, pull. Let's look at Pedro.
Let's see. Hold on. Come on, Pedro. Pedro was born 1958.
Pedro Morales?
Yeah.
No way. 1950.
I'm sorry, 1942. He made his debut in 58.
Whoa, okay.
So he was born in 42, so that means he was in his 40s.
Yes.
In 86.
So it was George the Animal Steel is still the oldest on this card.
Let's see, George the Animal Steel, I'll click it right now, was born in 1937.
See?
Made his debut in 1960. Harley Race was born in 1943, 74. Wow.
Yeah, see?
Holy shit, dude.
I have all their ages memorized by now at this point.
That's crazy. C.V. Offey, let's see.
He was 1949, so he must have been like 36.
He's 68 now.
So at the time, he was 35 or 34 years old, or 36.
Samoa. Yep.
Who else was on that card? What about Rene Goulet?
Let's see.
How old was he?
Dude, he's 85 now.
He's 85 years old?
He might be the oldest one.
Check.
He was born in 1932.
Yeah.
So he was born...
He was the oldest. Yeah. Because George Animal Steel was born in 37.
Wow. So Rene Goulet was the oldest.
Fuck, bro. He was the oldest one there?
Correct.
Holy shit.
Yep.
I give that man more respect now because he was the... Like, he took a beating.
Big Machine was Blackjack. He was born in 42.
Yeah. No.
Nope.
Bill Eadie was 47, I believe. 1947 he was born.
Let's see. He was born 1947, correct.
Yep. I think the youngest guy in this card was probably Davey Boy. He was born in 1962.
Let's see. Spivey was born in...
52.
All right. Davey Boy, huh?
1962.
Let's see. Davey Boy was... Yeah, 62. Made his debut in 78. Dynamite... Let's see.
58.
Yep. Made his debut in 75. Shit.
Wow. Mike Rotundo, 1958.
Oh.
He was in his 20s.
Yep.
Is it just me or did... when Mike Rotundo would come out, he was always sweaty.
Yeah.
He was always constantly sweaty. I was like, dude, what the fuck did you do? He just walked to the ring. You're already sweating, dude?
Well, the guys just probably come out of the shower, too. They like to wet themselves, too. That was a big thing. Yeah, what's going on in the chat room?
I know Andre wore a mask even though he was the suspended, quote suspended. Dusty did the same too.
And Midnight Rider.
Yeah, but is there anyone else?
The Yellow Dog, Barry Windham.
I can think of another one. Hulk Hogan as Mr. America.
Yeah, but that wasn't a suspension angle.
Yes, it was.
Or was it?
Yeah, he Vince.
That's right. Yes, he won the tag team title with Edge, right?
Yeah. What was another one? Damn, I can't think of another one.
Brian Pillman won Water Yellow Dog Mask too.
Oh yeah. Wow. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah.
So, with this card, what other memories pop into your head about this afterwards?
No, just seeing the Machines of the Garden afterwards.
And then they, yeah.
Yeah. Orndorff and Hogan were still feuding. He just turned.
Yeah.
So, Adonis was building momentum with the adorable gimmick.
But now, Adonis at the time, was he already like really overweight?
Yeah.
Or was he was still like...
No, he was overweight. Yeah. Yeah, he was overweight. But he looked... I mean, the guy can go, though. You know?
His tag team with Dick Murdoch.
His tag team with Ventura.
Ventura was good, too. That was in AWA, but I was thinking about Dick Murdoch.
East-West Connection. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man. Good song. Good shit.
What about Ventura and Mr. Saito? They broke character during that interview. That was great.
It's fucking nuts.
That was awesome.
Fucking nuts.
Anybody in the chat room, do you have questions for us?
Yeah, any chat room questions before we wrap it up?
Yeah, seriously. You have about 2 minutes.
No.
I'm joking. You have, give us some stuff. We'll answer.
As I look for a song to end the show with.
Would you like to know about the Macho Man sexcapades?
No.
Hey, the Macho Man had some great sexcapades. Yeah.
Gross.
Talk to me. With his stringy hair. Do you want to know if the Macho Man manscapes? Yeah. The Macho Man gives out the greatest pickle tickles.
Fucking lunatic.
What?
Oh, man.
I don't know about you, but Bonesaw is ready.
Yeah, Bonesaw is ready.
Hogan was told by Vince via storyline that Hogan was to stay home and be paid till his contract expired. If he showed his face, Vince would have fired him, so Hogan wore the mask. That was the Mr. America angle.
There we go.
Look at Shaylin using her noodle.
That, and she's probably looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah, probably Wikipedia, that shit. No fair.
No, I'm joking.
Look at this prima donna looking at Wikipedia.
I think that's it. You wanted to mention something... during the break, you said you want to make something.
Oh, Donovan Dijak.
What about him?
What are your thoughts on him finally officially, quote unquote, being signed?
We spoke about that, though.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay. Then fuck it.
Fuck it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Fuck it.
I remember now Adam fucking Page being signed.
That means they're going to drop the belts. They're the six-man champs.
Yeah, the Hung Bucks. They're going to drop the belts.
Drop the belts to probably back to Briscoes and Bully.
And Bully Ray, yeah.
All right.
Or maybe the boys in Dalton.
Yeah. I just heard him on Colt Cabana's podcast.
Who, Dalton?
Yeah.
Oh, he's awesome.
He's fucking great. I didn't know he was a radio DJ.
Yes, he was.
Big hockey fan, too.
I didn't know that. That I didn't know.
Yeah, big hockey fan.
Who's his team?
Well, he's from Rochester, so I'm assuming he's a Buffalo Sabres fan.
Ooh.
So... he didn't really mention
his fucking theme song's the best though, very Queen esque.
I want it all. Yeah, Dalton wants it all.
Yeah, Dalton. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Hey, Shaylin, any questions? Anybody? What about Mr. Boats? Boats, can you tell? Give any questions?
Did we confirm Boats is a man?
I don't know.
He's calling him Mr. Probably maybe might be a woman.
Mrs. Boats.
How about just Boats? Maybe she got boats.
Oh yeah, more
motorboats.
Whatever floats her boat, whatever floats his or her boat.
Okay, terrific.
Whatever causes the motion in his or her ocean. Yeah.
You sick freak.
That was a very entertaining episode, fellas. The phone sex stuff was a classic.
That's right.
We gotta do it more often.
We get it together, baby.
Oh yeah.
Are we ready?
I think we are, dude.
All right, let's get out of here. Let's play some music. Keeping it 1986
theme. Okay.
A little Pretenders for you. I want to thank everybody in the chat room. I want to thank Choppy for watching this and putting up with it.
It wasn't that bad. I just think that, it could have been a little bit better.
Anyway, next week we're gonna get some kind of episode, and then we're back after that.
Okay.
We're gonna get your groove on.
Yeah.
Thank to everybody on social media. Shout out to Mega Powers for holding it down. We're gonna be redoing our Facebook page, and we're gonna be redoing the YouTube page. We'll be on the lookout for that.
It's 2 weeks from now. We'll be going to the FTW show.
Yes, on the 29th.
We're going to do the show there, right?
We're going to shoot the show there. Yes. So you're getting a special show after the 22nd.
Yeah.
We get me and Choppy at the live event at Sacred Heart. So go to FTW-wrestling.com. Get all the information there. If you're local, why don't you come out and hang out with us that night? It's for a good cause. It's in Queens.
The roster looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Like the guy Rage, he looks pretty good.
Yeah, so...
Not Marquif. This is a different guy.
Different Rage. Right.
Oh, Shimon's asking us, will there ever be a transgendered superstar? Who the fuck knows?
Probably.
We never know.
Never know.
Turns out Ruby Riott is gay.
Good. God bless her.
God bless her.
God yes. bless her.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. Go buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com /TomokoThrowbacks. You want to tweet us, it's at TBuckleTBacks and
at Choppy2984.
Snail mail, TomokoThrowbacks1@gmail.com, TomokoThrowbacks.com, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. RantEmRadio.com. Surfer's coming up with his comic book show on Sunday. On Tuesday, Sean Mooney's coming on the Wizards. So listen to that.
Sean fucking Mooney on the Wizards.
And then the Rant is back after that. And Thursday got Rant Wrestling. Then Friday you're back with us. So support all of our friends who are not network affiliates. Shout out to Jay Baca. Always looking out for us on Twitter.
Yeah. Support phone sex.
Support phone sex and sex.
It's good for you.
It's good for you. Shout out to everybody who's been hanging out with us and supporting us. We love you all.
Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Boats. Thank you, Shaylin from the Shaolin.
So on behalf of my tag team partner, I'm the Impact player, Mr. Philly G. Rea, reminding you all, please take care of yourselves, each other. Avoid a clap. Don't get arrested. Don't say the N-word unless you're Tony C. on Esther. And just be kind to animals. Be kind to people. And just be a good fucking human being. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie. Yeah. Let's not say so long.